What's going on, y'all? Good morning on this day, Tuesday, November 19th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson. Appreciate you starting your day with me again today for your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update. I hope that we were all able to kind of sleep well, kind of flush that game away from last night, because it is disappointing, to say the very least, in Sixers land right now. The Sixers fall to one of the NBA's worst records in 2-11, and there's just not many things that are looking up for the 76ers right now. But we will get to all that in just a second. As always, make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the podcast on Twitter at Clap Your Hands Pod. Because even though it's not a lot of positive tweets, a lot of positive content right now, it's all content you need to know. It's all follows you need to have just to stay completely up to date on what is going on in Sixers land. And like I said, it is not good right now. You know how we do for the morning pods. I'm going to set the agenda. First, we'll look at the schedule for the Sixers, scores from around the league of teams we should keep an eye on, injury news, and regular news for the Sixers. Not going to get into analysis today. Last night was a flush away game, and there's something that I need to address with the Sixers, and I want to do that first and foremost. So before we get to that, let's get to the schedule. Off day today, the Sixers will have practice. Tomorrow, they go to Memphis to play the Memphis Grizzlies. They actually probably traveled there last night, probably in Memphis right now. But tomorrow night, Wednesday, they take on the Grizzlies at 8 p.m. in Memphis. Grizzlies still with no John Morant, but that hasn't really slowed them down much. They've gotten great production elsewhere. I'll preview that game tomorrow morning, so make sure you're up with me tomorrow to get my three things to watch for as we take on the Grizzlies. But tomorrow, 8 p.m., the Sixers, you know, at some point, you got to try to turn the corner. You got to, you know, at some point, try to have a turning point to your season. Let's see if it's that is tomorrow against the Grizzlies. Let's take a look around the league of scores of teams that we should pay attention to. We should always have our eye on, especially in the Sixers division and conference. The Knicks now on a 3-game winning streak as they beat the Wizards 134-106. Jalen Brunson got back to his ways a little bit for the Knicks, led the team with 26 points and 11 rebounds. I know the scoring hasn't been there every game for Jalen Brunson. He hasn't kind of looked as consistent as he's looked in past years of being at the helm of the Knicks, especially with Karl Anthony Towns there kind of taking a lot of the shots and a lot of the scoring away in a good way. But we've seen less on Jalen's plate. What I don't think people are talking about is the fact that he's averaging a career high in assists this year. Not here to give any props to another player on another team besides the Sixers, but you know, assists are gone up. They've gone up every year of his career, and they're continuing to go up this year. 7.1 assists, a career high in assists for Jalen Brunson. Karl Anthony Towns, no doubtably, is a huge reason as to why those assist numbers are going up. But Jalen Brunson just becoming more of a playmaker and a facilitator as he kind of matures in the NBA. So the Knicks now move to 8-6, second in the Atlantic Division, fourth in the Eastern Conference right now. So they are you know, kind of on a good groove, 3-game winning streak after beating the Wizards. Toronto gets their third win of the season, get a notch above the Sixers right now. They beat the Pacers 130-119. RJ Barrett exploded for 39 points in the win. Jakob Poeltl also had 30 points and 15 rebounds. I'm not sure what happened in Toronto last night, but Jakob Poeltl had a monster game too. Benedict Mathurin, a guy to keep an eye on for the Pacers, had 28 points for the Pacers as he continues his early case for maybe most improved player. You know, maybe making an MIP out of this season. Benedict Mathurin is kind of thrusted into a primary role there with the Pacers, and a high draft pick for them a couple years ago coming out of Arizona. A lot of people were high on him didn't have the greatest rookie season in the 2022-23 season, but is really starting to turn heads in the last two seasons. And, 28 last night and a loss, but still really good for Benedict Mathurin. So that's Toronto getting over on top of the Indiana Pacers. Toronto, like I said, 3-10, third win of the season. So even the Raptors creating a little bit of distance from the Sixers right now. It's not great, but those are scores from around the league. Couple of other games that were in action last night and go through them pretty quickly. The Bucks get back to their winning ways. They figure things out over only momentarily, beating the Rockets 101-100. The Bulls beat the Pistons 122-112. The Hawks beat the Kings 109-108. All right. Let's move to any injury updates we have. Not a lot going on. Just have a little bit of updates when it comes to Tyrese Maxey. He's set to be reevaluated today from that hamstring strain. I thought this reevaluation was supposed to happen a couple days, even a week ago, right? I thought it was supposed to happen maybe like last Thursday is when I first got the reports that Maxey was going to be reevaluated with this hamstring strain. But we still haven't gotten anything. But Kate Scott on the broadcast last night said that the team announced that he is set to be reevaluated today. So I don't know if he has been reevaluated and we just didn't get the updates from that, or if not, but maybe that first reevaluation was to say that he's good to go, going full court drills in practice, because we've seen him doing that. We've seen him in good spirits and very lively on the bench. He's joined in broadcasts. So there's just good signs for Tyrese kind of being ready to get back on the court pretty soon. And hopefully he returns very soon and we can start to evaluate the Sixers with a full, healthy big three. What, 15, 16, 17, 18 games into the season? I won't get too pessimistic about it. Let's just hope that Tyrese returns very soon and looks well so we can start to get some kind of normalcy when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers. On to some news about the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers had that dreaded team meeting that none of us really want to hear any of our teams have, especially this early into the season. Nick Nurse was a little late to his post-game press conference last night after the loss in Miami and apologized for his tardiness by saying the Sixers had a little team meeting after the game in the locker room, but would not discuss the specifics of it. So, he offered that statement up. Nobody asked him why he was late. No one said, hey, what was said in the locker room? Before any questions came out, he sat down, said this statement, and said he would not be taking questions about it, would not be discussing it, but is happy to take questions about the game. So it's clear that they want us to know that the team had a meeting, that the team huddled up, but obviously don't want to tell us what was discussed and what was said in the meetings. 13 games, 2-11. 13 games into the season, we've already had the team meeting, right? We've already had to kind of come together to discuss and kind of save the Sixers, save the team from continuing to fall by having this team meeting. So we've all heard about teams, whether it's our team, you know, other teams have this team meeting and come together in season. I've heard from many former and even current players about team meetings and what it signifies for your season. And I have very minimally to even ever heard one of these current or former players talk about these team meetings in a good sense, right? Talk about these team meetings and say, hey, you know, it's really good when you have these team meetings, really bands everybody together. It really turns the corner for the season. You don't really hear that when it comes to team meetings. You know, they all say it signifies or it signals that no one's on the same page. And some, I've even heard a lot of players talk about it. It's really just used as a time for guys to point fingers or to get stuff off their chest, or maybe even to just come and tell the media that, hey, we had a meeting and we are discussing things, right? We are kind of handling it internally, so you guys don't need to kind of press us too much about it. We're taking care of it, which I don't want to be cynical in this sense, but the fact that Nick Nurse came right to his post-game press conference and said this to the media kind of doesn't stray me away from that line of thinking. Kind of keeps me in that realm of thinking that They just want to tell someone that they had a meeting. Because I'm not sure, 13 games in the season to me is just, it's too soon for us to be having these meetings right now. To be fair, this wasn't a players only meeting, which I do think is a fine line, but a big difference, right? And that to me is the actual nail in the coffin. When a player comes up and kicks all kind of coaches and personnel out of the room, and it's kind of just players in there governing themselves. I've heard countless anecdotes and counts of those players only meetings. That's the end, right? That's when it's done. That's when your season is over. This was not that. This was players and coaches alike. Everyone huddled in to kind of address the team and kind of see if they can find some answers for what's going on in this season. Now, post-meeting, everyone tried to keep this close to the vest. You heard Nick Nurse, kind of his comments when he went to his post-game presser. Embiid was asked about it at his locker after Nick Nurse said what he said. And his Joel on-brand response was, oh, we had a meeting? I didn't know. I didn't even know. So, like, yeah, okay, whatever, Joel. Like, the normal kind of troll Embiid that we all, you know, have one time endeared and now, you know, kind of are getting annoyed by it. So that's just Embiid trying to do his job and not discuss the specifics of what was said in the team meeting, but also kind of doing it in his sarcastic and snarky way. But we did get the most elaborate explanation out of Caleb Martin. Smart for the reporters to go to the new guy to try to get it out of him. And they got a little bit out of Caleb. Didn't get any kind of details, but overall what they discussed, this is what Caleb said. Quote, it was positive. You know what I mean? Just finding ways to be progressive and finding a way to turn a corner. Just pretty much finding and talking things out as a team, addressing stuff and being proactive. So that's what Caleb Martin said. I paraphrased a tiny bit. He had a lot of fillers in there, but Caleb said that this was trying to be proactive, trying to find answers before it gets too late in the season, before they're at a point of no return. So I don't know how proactive a meeting like this is after a 2-11 start. That seems more reactive than proactive, but in any sense, Caleb saying it was a lot of positive stuff. It wasn't, hopefully it wasn't a lot of finger pointing. It wasn't a lot of, hey, guys, you know, this is over. What's going on? Why are we like this? This was a lot of, like, you know, saying, hey, let's figure out, you know, where we can come together, where we can improve as a team, and let's start doing that. Let's start, you know, finding our identity and finding ourselves. So, if it was positive, I'll find some kind of optimism in that. I'll find some kind of silver lining in that, but not a whole lot, to be honest. All I know is there was not supposed to be any kind of team meeting less than 20 games into the season. That this was not on the agenda at all. And the fact that the Sixers are searching for something, anything, at this point, at this time of the season, is more than alarming to me. It's more than alarming to everybody. You know, part of me wants to go Chicken Little on this whole thing and run and ring the bell at the top of the hill in the church and start screaming the sky is falling. But I'm not going to do that just yet, right? There's a great amount of frustration building with everyone in and around the Sixers organization, fan base included. It might start with the fan base, all right? So hopefully, like Caleb said, that the meeting addressed these things, that this meeting went and kind of shined light on the things the Sixers can control and need to start taking responsibility for, right? Because to me, there's a larger issue at hand. And I really want to call out somebody specific that needs to be held accountable for this larger issue at hand. But I'll save my comments for maybe until this weekend. Maybe after tonight's game, after Friday's game, we'll see. I'll give it some time for the messaging of this meeting to marinate. But if it doesn't, just know someone's on the block. And it's someone that my colleague and podcast host, Elliot Shaw Parks, called out last week. And I kind of scoffed at the notion. But maybe it's time to give that some serious thought if the same problems with the Sixers continue to arise. I'm not going to take a break. I'm not going to go through analysis because that's the biggest thing that I think needed to be addressed this morning as the Sixers are looking up at a 2-11 record, the last seed in the Eastern Conference, the worst record in the National Basketball Association right now. Thank you for starting your day with me. I hope it wasn't too negative of a start. But tomorrow morning, come back with me as we preview the game with the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's see if the Sixers come out with a new energy after this team meeting to try to get a win in Memphis. I'll talk to everybody in 24 hours.